if I could share with you. And the beginning part of it, as I was studying it, it's going to drag just a little bit maybe. So don't lose heart. I got some, it kind of builds momentum as I go. So depending on how patient you are, if you can outlast all the material I'm going to give you and get to the good part, then great. Otherwise, if you've had enough, you let me know and we'll move on to Jude, okay? All right, remember I told you that there's more prophetic scripture devoted to this topic in developing its character and conditions than any other one subject in all of the Word of God. I mean, this is the major subject that's talked about both in Old and New Testament. In the millennium, of course, the purposes of God will be fully realized on earth. So the first thing I want us to do, turn over to Genesis 12. I want us to go quickly. I can't possibly cover, all the scripture that are included in all these. So I'll give you a few scripture, and if you're interested in getting more, you let me know. If you have a MacArthur Study Bible, I know he's got a chart in there with hundreds of verses, various topics regarding the millennium. So these are not that chart. This is something separate, but I'm sure these scriptures are probably beyond that chart. The millennium, let's look number one, the millennium and the covenants made with Israel, because it's critical. The millennium and the covenants, of course, the covenants are promises that God made to the nation of Israel. Some of the promises are also for us, and some of the promises aren't for us. But for sure, many of the promises that God made to Israel will not be fulfilled until the millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. The first one, of course, is the Abrahamic covenant. And remember, a covenant is either conditional or unconditional. And I've talked to you a couple of times about back in those days, they would take a heifer, they would cut it long ways, cut it in half long ways, and lay the pieces hoof to hoof. And the two parties that were making the covenant would walk between those pieces to ratify the covenant. Well, when God made the covenant with Abraham, Abraham was put to sleep. The reason he was put to sleep is he didn't have anything to say about it. God was making the covenant with Abraham. It was unconditional. Abraham didn't have to do anything. God was going to honor this covenant regardless. And so God alone walked between the pieces. Abraham was not involved. Now, the promises that were made to Abraham involved the land and the seed, and both of these will be fulfilled in the millennial age. In Genesis chapter 12, of course, we have the first time that God made this covenant with Abraham, if one of you would be so gracious as to read verses 1 through 4. 1 through 4. All right, Scotty, go ahead, buddy.
Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old, when he departed out of Haran.
Bill, in the New King James, that first statement in verse 1, how's it read?
Now the Lord had said to Abram.
Okay. Notice that it says, had said. I don't hear many say a whole lot about that. But if it says, had said, that means in the past, sometime in the past. It's interesting to note that in the last verse of chapter 11, his father died. So it kind of makes me think that Abram kind of hung around until daddy died. Just something to think about. I mean, it doesn't change anything. God still made the promise to Abram, but I don't think Abram, like we often read, when God tells somebody to do something, to get up and get busy and do it. Kind of wondering if Abram hung around till Daddy died. Had you thought about that before?
No.
Because why does it say, now the Lord had said? Doesn't say, now the Lord said to Abram.
Reminds me of what Jesus said to the guy that wanted to wait till his dad passed.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let the dead bury the dead. All right. So, the Abrahamic covenant, we find, of course, the promise of a great land, promise of him being blessed, his name being made great, the fact that he would be a blessing. There'd be a curse upon those that cursed him, a blessing upon those that would bless him. And, of course, there would be his seed would be greatly, greatly multiplied. And again, this has only been partially fulfilled. It will be completely fulfilled in the millennium. Some scripture you can write down. Do you want me to skip Isaiah passages? Or since this is kind of the tail end of Isaiah, you want me to give you those? Since we already went through Isaiah is the reason I'm asking. I've got several others. Do you want the Isaiah passages? All right. Isaiah 10 verses 21 and 22. Isaiah 19, 25. 43, 1. 65, 8, and 9. Then we got two in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 30, 22, and Jeremiah 32, 38. And then I'm going to, let me give them to you. Some of you might want them. Ezekiel 34, 24, I don't have like a ton for this. Ezekiel 34, 24, Micah 7, 19 through 20. Zechariah 13, 9. And then lastly, Malachi 3, 16 through 18. Malachi 3, 16 through 18. All right, look at Genesis 13. Genesis 13, somebody read 14 through 17. 14 through 17. Genesis 13. Somebody, anybody? Going once, going twice? Miss Betty, go ahead.
And the Lord said unto Abram, after that lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee.
All right. So, the only time that all of the land that God had promised to Abram became Israel's was during the reign of David. Remember, I mentioned this, I think, last week. When Solomon took over, of course, Solomon got involved in idolatry, had buku wives and concubines, and he was sidetracked. And because of his sin, they lost a good portion of the land. So it won't be until the millennium that Israel finally has all of the land that God promised to Abraham. Okay, then we have chapter 15, verses 1, and I'm intentionally reading because I think the Abrahamic covenant is kind of like the mother of all covenants, if you please, other than maybe the new covenant. But I want us to read all four references to this in the book of Genesis. Chapter 15, 1 through 7. Volunteer? 15, 1 through 7. My Becca, have at it. 1 through 7.
Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir,
but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it.
All right, so there again, it's repeated the promise to Abram that he would inherit the land and that he would have, in this case, seed as the number of stars. Now, obviously, this hyperbole, God is making a point. More than someone could count. Earlier he had said the sand. Now he's saying the stars. You ever try to count the sand? I did that one time. I was bored at the beach and started counting the sand. Not really. I'm only kidding. I mean, you'd have to really be bored to start. Okay, I'm going to start counting the little grains of sand. Wow. You've probably done that in class. You know, the ceiling tiles that have the holes. Do you ever get so bored you look up at the ceiling tiles, start counting the holes, see how many holes are in each, you know, the little small squares? You never did that? No? Okay. All right, one more. Chapter 17, 1 through 8. Chapter 17, 1 through 8. Billy Joe, go ahead.
When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Abram. Okay. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God.
All right, thank you. So there it is again. So four different times recorded here in the book of Genesis, God reiterates and focuses on certain points of the Abrahamic covenant. So again, this will be completely fulfilled. All of these promises that have not yet been fulfilled will be fulfilled during the millennial reign of Christ. Second covenant is the Davidic covenant. Davidic covenant is also unconditional. If it was conditional, say, now David, if you do this, then I will do that. But that's not how these covenants are. God said, in spite of you, I am going to promise you certain things. All right, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. And let's look at the promises that God made to David that will not be completely fulfilled until the millennial reign of Christ. Now, this one is a little bit longer. It's chapter 7, 4 through 16. And then 1 Chronicles 17, 3 through 15. So we can not read it all, or we can read it all. What do you want to do? You want to go the Reader's Digest condensed study of the millennium, or do you want to do some of the, you want to go all the way? What do you want to do?
Regardless, I need the First Chronicles reference again.
I'm sorry. One time is all. We don't have time to repeat ourselves. But I just want to say thanks for asking, though. Okay. 1 Chronicles 17, 3 through 15. But if you look at, just look at verse 15, 2 Samuel 7, 15, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, so as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee, and thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. And you can see the different parts of the Davidic covenant here. Thy throne shall be established forever. So God promised David an unending royal lineage, a throne and a kingdom, and all of them forever. Now, David didn't live forever. Solomon didn't live forever. And then, of course, once Solomon died, you had the divided kingdom, and that didn't last very long before that was the end of the northern, which turned into Samaria, the northern kingdom. But here's what Israel was guaranteed. God promised David unending royal lineage, a throne, a kingdom, and all of these forever. In the Davidic covenant, he also guaranteed Israel an everlasting throne. Verse 16 of 2 Samuel 7, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, thy throne shall be established forever." Also Psalm 89, and I'm going to read that real quick. Psalm 89, and you can read all of Psalm 89. You'll get a lot out of it because it describes the Davidic covenant in great detail, okay? So Psalm 89 is a good place to look. But just one verse, verse number 36, "His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me." Or, "As sure as the sun is established, so David's kingdom will be everlasting," okay? Also, he guaranteed Israel, number two, not only an everlasting throne, but an everlasting king. An everlasting king, Jeremiah 33. I'm going to read that one. Jeremiah 33 and verse number 21. Jeremiah 33, verse 21 reads, "Then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have his son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers." And so, obviously, God at this point was judging Israel. I'm going to back up to verse 19. "The word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season." Can anybody stop day from coming or night from coming? No. See, out of context, this kind of didn't make sense. But then verse 21, "Then," if you can do that, "then also may my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne." So no one can stop the day, no one can stop the night, so no one can stop God's promises from being fulfilled. Number three, not only an everlasting throne, everlasting king, but also an everlasting kingdom. An everlasting kingdom. And in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, man, I love the book of Daniel. You guys like the book of Daniel? It's been a long time since I went through that book.
2017.
When?
2017.
That's when you started here? Don't you miss it?
Oh, yeah.
It's a great book. And then you go right, flow right into Revelation. Oh. I long for the days when I need to find me another church so I can start over and do Daniel. What'd you say? Did you hear that? Scott always thinks it's so fun. I don't, Scott.
Her timing is so awesome.
Oh, she's in, I trained her. Remember that. "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." So the millennial kingdom of Christ, who will rule over all nations, will merge into the eternal kingdom. So Christ, once he starts ruling for the 1,000 years, It's not like the 1,000 years is over and now Christ goes somewhere else and does whatever. No, we're going to be with him from day one in the millennium. Well, actually, before that, because before the tribulation, which is 7 years, we're going to be raptured, or if we're dead, we'll be with him already. But the rapture of the church, 7 year tribulation, then he comes back and we come with him. He sets up his kingdom, rules and reigns for 1,000 years. We rule and reign with him. And then, of course, the eternal state is ushered in. And that's really when there's a new heaven, new earth, and we will be with him forever and ever. All right, so in the Davidic covenant, God promised David an unending royal lineage, throne, kingdom, and all of them forever. He guaranteed Israel an everlasting throne, an everlasting king, and an everlasting kingdom. And then also, part of the Davidic covenant, Christ himself will sit on that throne. Christ himself will sit on that throne. That hasn't happened yet. It will be fulfilled in the millennium. Isaiah 11, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 11, and we read a lot and saw a lot of scripture in Isaiah about the millennium. And as was the case with many subjects in Isaiah, it's spattered throughout. Made it a little confusing at times because Isaiah went all over the place as the Spirit of God led him as he wrote, as he prophesied. Chapter 11, 1 and 2, and there shall come forth a rod or a shoot out of the stem or trunk of Jesse, and a branch, capital B, shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So that, of course, is talking about Messiah. Other scripture, Luke chapter 1, 31 through 33. Luke 1, 31 through 33. Chapter Isaiah 55, verse 3 and verse 11. Jeremiah 23, 5 through 8. Jeremiah 30, 20 through 26. And Micah 4, 7 and 8. Micah 4, 7, and 8. So that's the Davidic covenant. Anybody need anything repeated? All right. The next covenant, the Palestinian covenant. Again, unconditional. Deuteronomy, and we'll cover this in our study of Deuteronomy. But in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 through 10, we have the Palestinian covenant. And since we are in Deuteronomy in Sunday school, I'm not going to take the time to read these 10 verses now. But let me just tell you a few things about the Palestinian covenant. It concerned Israel's final possession of the land. The land, of course, given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 7. And what makes this covenant unique is it includes Israel's dispersions for unbelief and disobedience. It includes Israel's dispersions for unbelief and disobedience. In Genesis chapter 15 again, verse 15:3, Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And of course, was that obedient or disobedience? Was Abraham supposed to take matters in his own hand, him and Sarah, and say, "Oh, well, you know what? There's a woman right over there. She's a handmaiden. She's young and doesn't look like God's coming through here." Well, I'll tell you what, a whole bunch of problems arose out of that decision, didn't it? To this day. And then Deuteronomy 28, verses 63 through 68. And again, since we're going through that book, we're not going to look at these. Deuteronomy 28, 63 through 68. Also included in this Palestinian covenant, times of repentance and restoration. Times of repentance and restoration. Deuteronomy 30, since only one verse, I'm going to read this one. 30 verse 2, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice, according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, etc. That's the beginning of verse number 3. Also included is the regathering of Israel. The regathering of Israel. And this, of course, will happen in the millennium, the final regathering. Jeremiah 23, 8. Also, I mentioned Deuteronomy 30, verse 3, the rest of that verse. Let me read it. And have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. Deuteronomy 30, verse 3. Also, Jeremiah 30, verse 3. Jeremiah 31, 8. And lastly, Ezekiel 39:25-29. Ezekiel 39:25-29. And lastly, under this Palestinian covenant, it will be, as the Abrahamic covenant, will be fully fulfilled by Israel in the millennial age. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. Isaiah 11, I'm going to read those two. Isaiah 11, 11 and 12. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, the dispersed, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So the faithful remnant will be brought back to the land. And when is that going to happen? In the millennium. That's when it's going to happen, okay? All right, then we have the new covenant. This is the last covenant we're going to look at. The new covenant, it's also unconditional. There were conditional covenants as well. This, of course, the main passage is Jeremiah 31:31-33. And this particular covenant is expounded in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 6 through 13. Hebrews 8, 6 through 13. And we are going to come back later, depending on how far we go in this millennial study, and look at the passage in Hebrews later, if you put up with it that long. But the new covenant was made with the house of Judah and the house of Israel, and the promise, the main promise, is, of course, a new heart. So we are involved as recipients of the promises, of course, of this covenant, where God would give a new heart, God would forgive sin, and God would fill the recipients of the promises of this covenant with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the total fulfillment of this is, of course, in Israel, and it will be fulfilled in a converted nation. And that, of course, will happen as the millennial reign of Christ is ushered in. Keep in mind, and I brought this out before, I think it's in chapter 8 of Romans, or chapter 11 of Romans, where all Israel shall be saved. Remember, Zechariah talked about Israel, those that will be alive at the close of the tribulation will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will weep and mourn, and they will believe. and they will be saved. So everyone entering the millennial kingdom will be saved. But some will be alive at the close of the tribulation. They'll still have their old bodies, and they're going to enter into the millennium with their old unglorified bodies. Now, we're going to be, we're going to have our new bodies. We're going to be in the, immaterial. Even though, I mean, we're going to appear as though we have a body. We're not going to look like ghosts. We're not going to be a bunch of Casper the Friendly Ghosts out there in the millennial reign. But we're going to have our new bodies. We're going to have a body like Jesus, okay? And, of course, the sin nature is done away with in us. But those that still have their old fleshly bodies that enter into the kingdom are still sinners, are they not? And they're going to have babies, and the babies will be born with a sin nature, correct? And so they're going to have to be saved just like we had to get saved, like everyone had to be saved. And if they rebel against Christ, they will live a relatively short life. If they adhere to Christ, you know, Christ's ruling with a rod of iron and they obey, then they're going to live pretty old, and hopefully, of course, they'll get saved. If they don't get saved watching Christ work, and those of us will be ruling and reigning with him, you might be the mayor of a city or the governor of a state or the ruler of a country, but Christ, of course, will be over all. He's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But depending on how faithful we are here in service, will determine what kind of position we're going to have in the millennium. It's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? I mean, I might end up in Siberia. I mean, who knows? At least the weather will be nice. It won't be cold anymore, okay? We're going to have millennial temperatures. Whatever temperature, it's kind of like this, I guess. It'll be as though maybe you like it 68. Maybe somebody else gets cold at 60, they like it 80. We're going to be perfectly comfortable no matter what our preferences were in our old bodies. We're going to have a new body anyway. Okay, so Jeremiah 31, I gave you that. Jeremiah 32, 35 through 39. This is all under New Covenant. Ezekiel 11, 18 through 20. And also 16, 60 through 63. And then also 37, 26. And then the Romans passage that I mentioned that talks about all Israel being saved, Romans 11, 26 through 29. Romans 11, 26 through 29. So all of Israel's spiritual blessings are in the fulfillment of this new covenant. All of their spiritual blessings. Doesn't have anything to do with the land or seed or a king. It's all spiritual blessings are included in this covenant. Now some of these, of course, have partial fulfillment already. But none of them will be fully fulfilled until the millennium. Which leads us to our second point tonight, the relation of Satan to the millennium. I think we've talked about some of this. I think, and we went through Revelation, we're pretty familiar with this. But what will happen to Satan during the millennium? Somebody tell me, what's going to happen? Yeah, he's going to be bound. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit. Some translations have the abyss. And that is where the fallen angels, one-third fell with Satan, and some of those ended up immediately bound in the bottomless pit, the abode of the evil spirits. As a matter of fact, I think it's chapter 5, talks about those creepy little satanic those creatures that come out of the bottomless pit. I think, of course, it would be these demons, these fallen angels, and they've been bound for centuries. You think they're going to be happy when they get out? They have tails like scorpions and have a face, hair like a woman, a funky looking face with great big teeth. Yeah, they're going to be really creepy, and thank God we're going to be with Jesus, because I don't want to come face to face with one of those bad boys, do you? I mean, I've never been stung by a scorpion, but I hear they're very painful. Can you imagine if it was like a gigantic scorpion looking thing with, I don't even want to think about it. All right. And he laid hold on the dragon. In case there's any confusion, all of the different descriptions of the devil are here. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So Satan will not be tempting anybody during the millennium, so no one can blame the devil. The devil made me do it. Nope, that's not going to work in the millennium. Instead, we're going to know, because there's still going to be an uprising. When Satan is finally loosed at the end of the millennial reign, he's going to gather together a huge, huge army. Because remember, there's going to be a lot of people. They're going to live a long time. There's going to be a lot of people born during the millennium. I mean, a lot of people. And yet, even though Christ is going to rule with a rod of iron, even though he rules righteously, perfect justice, you won't need equity and inclusion and all these things that they talk about today. Because Christ is going to rule perfectly, perfect righteousness. You know, the world cries, peace, peace, safety. Nah, not happening today. But then it's going to happen. And still, Satan's going to be able to gather together a huge army to fight again. Of course, there's not going to be a shot fired. The Lord's going to consume them. But it goes to show that the real problem with humanity is within our own hearts. It's not the devil. We're wicked enough on our own, aren't we? Satan, of course, 2 Corinthians 4:4, is now the god of this age. And he's carrying on his work, carrying on his program. What's he want to do? Defeat the purposes and program of God. To defeat the purpose and program of God. By the way, the angel came, he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him, that scoundrel, into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Just a little season. Won't be long. So the millennium will be God's final test of fallen humanity under the most ideal circumstances. No external temptation. And yet men will still fail because we are dirty, rotten, filthy sinners. That's why. And then lastly tonight, number three, the relation of Christ to the millennium. Obviously, the millennium depends upon the return of Jesus Christ. There can be and would not be any earthly theocratic kingdom, a theocracy. God is in charge, totally. That's how God intended for Israel, remember? He was their king. That's how God wanted it. That's what he intended. God would always be Israel's king, but they said, no, everybody else gets a king. We don't get a king. Everybody else is doing it. How come we can't? I want a king. So God said, all right. Remember in Deuteronomy, even before they got in the land, Moses said, you know, you're going to ask for a king one day. Yeah. And they did. They wanted the tall one, the handsome one. And God had somebody else in mind, but okay, fine, yeah, you can have Saul, go ahead. How'd that work out? Not too good, huh? Yeah. I mean, even the man that God chose, little David, that little ruddy little dude, he was a spark plug, though, wasn't he? Even he failed because he's got had the same flesh and bone that we got, same sin nature, same temptations. Well, When Christ, of course, sets up his kingdom, it'll be a true theocratic kingdom. And all that will exist in the millennium has its origin in the King. He will be totally, completely in charge. A man named, I don't know his first name, last name is Peters, wrote a book, Theocratic Kingdom. And then he has a three next to it, Theocratic Kingdom the Third. I don't know what that, I can't remember what that's about. Excuse me, pages 220 to 21. I'm going to quote just a little paragraph out of that. How can the curse be repealed? How can death be overcome? How can all the fearful evils pertaining to man and nature be removed? Now, of course, people will die during the millennium. You're going to live to be very old. Because even though much of the curse will be lifted, it's not going to be totally. Because there's still going to be sin. But a lot of the results of sin are going to be lifted. So the curse being totally repealed won't happen until the eternal state. But anyway, much of it will be. Hate to correct the guy, but, you know, you're not right, you're not right. How can the unspeakably great blessings be obtained, all of which are to be realized in this kingdom under Messiah's reign without a mighty display of supernatural power beyond anything that the world has ever witnessed, and beyond the understanding of weak and mortal man with his limited powers? If there is a truth conspicuously displayed in Holy Writ, it is that this kingdom, the tabernacle of David, now in ruins, but then gloriously rebuilt under David's son, capital S, cannot be manifested without the most wonderful display of almighty energy, end of quote. So the idea is the millennium could not be apart from the manifestation of Christ, upon whom the entire age, the millennial age, the 1,000 years, depends. So he'll be the energy. He's going to be the one that makes it a possibility. I mean, it will be his kingdom. All right, questions. Are you bored to death? Do you wish you would have stayed home and watched reruns of some kind of crazy show? Like, one of my favorites is, what's that Tim Allen show?
Home Improvement.
No, the new one.
Oh, Last Man Standing.
Yeah, Last Man Standing. You know, normally somebody makes a new show, it's not as good as the old one. Man, that one took the cake. Oh, yeah. And the big libs got mad at him because, you know, he's a conservative, and so they threw him off of one network, and, well, somebody else picked it up.
Kanye's their target now.
Oh, yeah. Well, remember, white lives do not matter. You got to remember that. Because white lives are the problem. That's the reason the world is in the shape it's in. Today's the 18th, is that correct?
19th.
Oh, man, I missed a day. Wow. Yeah, it is tonight. So are you wanting to go on? Remember, this is the hard part. It's going to get good. Not yet, though. Not good yet.
I think you should keep going.
I mean, I know some of you are afraid to say, look, don't be afraid. The worst thing I can do is kill you and eat you, and I'm not interested in killing you or eating you. So. But, the millennium is kind of a, you know, today we live in a really, I mean, we are in a troubled world. And the millennium is a tremendous promise and something to look forward to. And who wouldn't want to know about what the millennium is going to be like? trying to sell it. All right, let's stand together for a word of prayer. Thanks for coming tonight. If you don't show up next week, I know why. Scott, pray, would you please?
Father God, we thank you for this time we got to spend in your word this evening. Thank you for the love and fellowship we share with one another, and the love and fellowship you share with us. We thank you that you first loved us, that we may love you in return.
We pray, God.
Father, that you would help us carry that love out into the world, that others may come to know you through our witness and our testimony. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you.